Okay, so today we're going into Tefillah Lemoshe, and we say Tefillah Lemoshe Ish HaElokim Hashem Moin Ata Hayisalanu B'dar V'dar. A prayer by Moshe, the man of Hashem, my Lord and abode have you been for us in all generations. And there happens to be three kapitloch in Tehillim, just to tangent for a moment, that start with the word Tefillah, this Tefillah Lemoshe, this Tefillah Ladovin, and Tefillah La'ani. And Chazal happened to tell us that in an Eis Tzara, one should feel and say the tefillah of tefillah la'ani, as Hashem listens to one who's an ani, who's broken. But this was one that Moshe Rabbeinu had said. And Rashi and others tell us that the 11 mizmorim starting from here through Kapitel Kuf Aleph were written actually by Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Radak says, David found this tefillah, and it was known to have come from Moshe. The Evin Ezra explains that the style of this kapitel is written in a Lashon Rabbim in a plural, and that was not the writing style that David HaMelech used while writing Tehillim. Rav Saji Gondo explains that Moshe really means the B'nai Moshe, meaning just that the Levim who would sing in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Radak brings the Medrash that each of these 11 kapitloch were keneged one of the 11 tefillos that Moshe Rabbeinu said in Parsha Zos HaBracha. And the Radak says David learned he was called the Ish HaElokim because he was a Navi. And the Medrash says that he was called Ish HaElokim because he raised himself to the level of being a godly being. And the Medrash brings a mashal. There were three people to approach a king to seek clemency. The first person begs forgiveness for an act of betrayal, and the king grants him his wish. The second individual also begs for forgiveness, and the king pardons him too. And the third person approaches the king and says, I have not come to ask for my own mercy. Rather, your country has been destroyed. I ask you to rebuild it. And the king says, this is a great crown for you. And the Medrash explains, David had asked Hashem, Shima Hashem Tzedek, hear Hashem what is righteous. Then Hashem asked Chavakuk what he would like, and he admitted that everything he had said before to Hashem was a mistake. And when Hashem asked Moshe what he wanted, Moshe davened, Slachno lavon ha'om hazeh, forgive now the iniquity of these people. And it's this selflessness that earns Moshe a great crown. Hashem even changes his will before Moshe. So Moshe is referred to as an Ish HaElokim because he is, so to speak, the master of Hashem, since Hashem bows his will to him. And the Mefarshim learned, you've been a protector of Klal Yisrael in every generation. And this foreigner says, you've protected us from things that would hold us back from serving you, even though there is nothing for Hashem within our avodah. And we continue with Terem Harim Yuladu Vatecholol Eretz V'Sevel Me'olam Ad Olam Atakel. Before the mountains were born, and you had not yet fashioned the earth and the inhabited land, and from this world to the world to come, you are God. And the Mefarshim explained, before there was a world, before there were people, you were the all-able God. The Toshev Enosh Adaka Vatomer Shuvu B'nei Adam. You reduce man to pulp, and you say, repent, sons of men. And Rashi and the Matuz David learn, you bring Yisurin on man until he becomes weak and close to death. And through the Yisurim, you're telling him to do tshuva from their bad ways, because Yisurim only come due to Averos. And the Sforno says, you shorten the days of man after the Mabel and the Daraflaga, so that they shouldn't rely on long lives, that they therefore they can rebel against you and still have time to change. And Evin Ezra and Radak learn that the power and strength of youth does not last forever. And man becomes old and weak in his old age, and he will return to the ground from which he was taken. Ki elef shonim beinecha, ki yom esmol, ki yavar v'shmur baloyla. For 1,000 years in your eyes are but a bygone yesterday, and like a watch in the night. And the Gemara tells us that 1,000 years equals one day before Hashem, which is why Chazal tell us that we're late on Erev Shabbos, as this is the 6th millennium, which is Friday in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Rashi says that 1,000 years equals a day and an Ashmura, which is one watch of the night. And he says, firstly, if 1,000 years equaled only a day, why does the Pasuk even mention the concept of night at all? And secondly, Hashem told Adam that the day you eat from the Eitz Hadas is the day you're going to die. And we know Adam lived for 930 years. So we see that 1,000 years is a day plus a little bit of the night. And the Radak learns that even if you think that you'll live 1,000 years, since you will eventually die, do not get haughty, because at the end, it will all be considered like only a day has passed. Siramtam Shena Yu Baboke Kachotzu Yachlof, you flood them away, they become sleep-like. By morning, they are like grass that withers. And the Mefarshim learn, life is like running water or like a dream, that when one wakes up, there's nothing left. The Radak says that just as moist grass dries quickly once the sun comes out, so too life can end quickly while they are still young. And the Me'am Lohe says that a man is taken up with the affairs of this world, that he does not realize how quickly his life is passing. And just as at night during sleep no work is done, so too all these years pass without any achievement. Boker yotzitz v'cholav l'elav yimol v'yavesh, in the morning it blossoms and is rejuvenated, by evening it is cut down and brittle. And then Mrs. David and the Radak learn that if in the morning, when they are young, they blossom and have koach, once they reach zikna, once they reach old age, they will become brittle. And just like grass that is moist in the morning before the sun shines on it, by evening, after it has been in the sun all day, it becomes brittle. Ki chalinu ba'pecha v'chamoscha nevholnu. For we are consumed in your anger and we are terrified by your wrath. And the Radak and Mrs. David learn, Moshe is referring to those in Golos, that if the life of a person who has a life of peace and serenity is so short, then certainly us in Golos who are consumed by your anger. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. And Mrs. David learns, you place our sins before you to remember them and to pay retribution for them. And the sins that we have forgotten are in front of you, as you forget nothing. For our days are passed away in your fury, we spend our years like a fleeting utterance. And the Mefarshim learned that our veiras bring your wrath and fury upon us, that causes our years to shorten. And Rashi says, because we incurred your wrath, our days pass by unproductively. The days of our years are 70 years, and if with strength 80 years, yet is there pride but toil and pain, it is cut off swiftly and we fly away. And the Radak asks, if Moshe wrote this kapitel, if he was the author, then how does he say man lives for 70 years when he himself lived for 120? And he explains that Moshe was talking about the average man who lived to 70 and at best to 80, and that their lives were all full of toil and pain. Tosfos tells us that it was actually David who inserted the line of 70 here, since lifespans were shorter in the days of David. And the Me'am Lohe says that these numbers were chosen deliberately, as the 70 years of David's life and the first 80 of Moshe's life were full of trouble and toil. Miodea. Who knows the power of your anger? As you are feared, so is your fury. And Rashi learns, in a brief span of human life, who can manage to acquire a knowing heart that is properly instructed to fear you? For as you are awesome, so are you terrible in your fury to inflict punishment upon sinners. And the Radak says, who can watch from your anger and know the power of your fury? For even that in that same measure that a man is in awe who fears you, the more exacting is the severity of your punishment. And then Mrs. David learns that just as your greatness is hidden from man, we don't know how to fear you properly, so too your fury is unknown. Limnos yameinu kein hoda v'navi levav chachma. So make known within the count of our days that we may acquire a heart of wisdom. And the Sforno learns, you have shortened man's days and multiplied the obstacles in his life in this world. So make known and enlighten the eyes of our intellect. We should know and understand in a way that will give us a heart of wisdom in a short time and with little exertion on our part. The Radak says Moshe is asking Hashem to grant us the heart and the knowledge to count our days. Then we will be capable of creating for ourselves a heart of wisdom. When we will know the measure of our days, we will try harder to delve into wisdom. Shuva Hashem ad Mosai v'inochem al avdecha. Return Hashem how long and relent concerning your servants. Rashi and the Mitzvah David learn, Moshe is saying, Hashem, return from your anger. How long will you be angry with us? Think a good thought about your servants. And the Radak says, how much longer will you still neglect us as we have already borne the payment for our Averos? Sabeinu baboker chazdecho niranano v'nismecha b'chol yameinu. So satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness that we may rejoice in song and be glad all our days. Rashi learns Moshe was davening for the Geula, which is likened to the morning, since morning comes after night, and the Geula comes after the night of Golus. On that day of redemption, we will be satiated with your loving kindness, that then we will rejoice in song over all the sorrows that had passed. And Evan Ezra says that if you satisfy us in the morning when we're young with your loving kindness, you teach us the proper way, so that even in our old age we will rejoice in song. Samchenu ki maisi nisanu shnaisa inu ra. Make us glad according to the days you have afflicted us, and the years when we saw evil. And Rashi learns, make us glad in the days of Mashiach in the same measure as the years of galus and evil that we had. And then Mrs. David says, like the days you afflicted us and the days we saw evil, you should make us glad. Yeroel avadecha fa'olecha v'adarcha al b'neim. Let your work appear to your servants and your glory upon their children. And the Radak learns that Moshe's davening, that both the fathers and the sons merit to see the Yeshua. He says, in every generation, the fathers plead for the Yeshua, which is coming closer. And it should happen in their days, and therefore both they and their children will get to experience the Yeshua. V'noam Hashem Elkeinu Aleinu Masiyadeinu Konenu Aleinu Masiyadeinu Konenu. And let the splendor of Hashem our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. And the Medrash says, Moshe said this pasuk when the Mishkan was built, that it might endure and be blessed by Hashem. And Rashi explains that the double lashon that Moshe used was referring once to the newly built Mishkan, that Hashem should rest the Shekhinah on the work of their hands, and once to man's general activities. Others learn we're asking Hashem to help us when we try to serve you, not to do things wrong or have human pressures interfere with our avoda. And the Me'am Lo'ei says, let the splendor of Hashem, our God, upon us refers to the mitzvos ben adam lamakom, and establish the work of our hands upon us refers to the mitzvos ben adam l'chaveru. Establish the work of our hands between man and man to be splendid, and yes, establish the work of our hands between man and God to be perfected to their utmost purpose. And as we know, a deed can be splendid in itself, complete and appropriate, or it also can be splendid because of the way of the person who's performing it. And we're asking for both. We're saying splendid in themselves and in relation to us. So we say establish the work of our hands upon us and establish the work of our hands in itself. And to end with the story or email, so someone told me that he got a winning hit for his team in an extra inning baseball playoff game, that the game was very tense, and afterwards people asked him how he was able to come through with the big hit under such pressure. And he said, before the pitch came, I prayed to Hashem to help me. What? Someone replied, you wasted your tfilos on that. There are so many more important things to daven for in life. Don't waste your tfilos on pettiness. And the person who posed this question seems to have been working off the assumption that we deserve most things that we have in life, and we're entitled to ask Hashem for a few favors. As such, we should therefore choose carefully what we ask for so as not to use up our limited number of favors on less vital and important wishes. However, Chazal teach us that this perspective is incorrect. Nothing we have in our lives is deserved. It is all the result of Hashem's infinite kindness. And He's been doing billions of undeserved favors for us ever since the moment we entered this world. And He has an unlimited amount of favors to do for us in the future. And the Medrash tells us that Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu His storehouses in Shemayim, from which He bestows His blessings, His brachos, upon people. And the largest one of all, by far, is called the Otzer Shel Matnas Chinam, the storehouse of undeserved gifts. And the Shem Yishmuel cites his father, Avnei Nezer, as commenting that one accesses the Otzer Shel Matnas Chinam by recognizing that he deserves nothing, and that everything he has is a gift granted to him by Hashem. And we will never be able to repay Hashem for all the kindness He bestows upon us. And He wants to give us even more. We need to recognize that everything we have is a matnas chinam, an undeserved gift. Even if one has accomplished a great deal, his brachos are undeserved and a gift granted to him by Hashem. And the great tzaddikim are keenly aware of this. As great as they are, they truly feel that everything they have is an undeserved gift. And the Gemara comments in Masechtas Chulin that Hashem boasted, as it were, about our avos, noting how Avram Avinu said, "Va'anochi afa ve'efer, I am just dust and ashes." And Moshe and Aaron said about themselves, "V'nachnu ma, what are we that you're complaining to us?" Likewise, the Bali Tosfos comment that when Moshe Rabbeinu davened to be allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael, he recited a tefillah that was known as a techina, where one asks Hashem for an undeserved gift, as is implied in the pasuk, "Ve'eschanan el Hashem." No one can possibly feel he's more deserving of Hashem's grace than Moshe Rabbeinu. And yet even Moshe recognized that he did not deserve anything, that everything he has is a gift from Hashem. Similarly, David HaMelech davened to Hashem to grant him his requests, as he says, Ki yachid va'ani ani. I am poor and rightfully deserve nothing. And then Rabbi Yosef writes that we do not need any merits to have our tefillos answered. All we need to know is that we do not deserve anything. And the Chavetz Chaim was once heard speaking to Hashem, saying, Ribono Sholem, you've been so kind to me. You allowed me to write a Mishnah Berurah, to write Sfarim on Lashon Hara, and he proceeded to describe all his accomplishments, attributing them all to Hashem. And he says, Hashem, you've given me so much, and what have I given you? And the Chavetz Chaim spent his days and nights learning Torah, writing Sfarim, serving Hashem. But he keenly sensed that he was able to do everything only because of Hashem's kindness. Somebody else in that situation would have likely said, Hashem, look how much I've accomplished. I wrote a Mishnah Berurah, I've helped Klal Yisrael with Lashon Hara, and so much more. Why don't I have more money? Why don't you give me more brachos? Somebody who knows that everything is a gift cries out to Hashem, what have I done for you? All you do is keep giving and giving. But one who feels he deserves what he has asks why he doesn't have more. And the more we recognize that everything is a gift, the more access we have to that Otzer of Matnas Chinam. And the person who davened to Hashem for that hit in the baseball game beautifully expresses awareness of his complete dependence on Hashem. He truly understands that he cannot do anything without Hashem, that Hashem gives him everything, not only his health, family, and home, but even the small blessings in life. Asking Hashem for help in all situations shows our recognition that he's always in control. And there's no limit on the number of favors which we can ask from Hashem. We can ask to win a baseball game and for a sick patient to be cured. The key is recognizing that everything we have in life is an undeserved gift. And the truth is, even personally, I know that when it comes, whether it's usually more by laning, but that when I remember to stop beforehand and ask Hashem to help me through it, my laning does run a lot smoother. When it's more, I have to get this aliyah, I have to, you know, remember this, then it's more when I have a little more of a bumpy time, getting it all down. And the homework, obviously, is over the week, to think about what we say in this tefillah of Tefillah L'Moshe, and then just an extra homework, as Bez Hashem, the Vod will pick up again after Sukkos, but just an extra homework is as we go through Tishrei, to take a few minutes whenever you have a chance to open a machzer, whether it's a Shoshana, whether it's Yom Kippur, Sukkos, and just look at something in the davening, look at what Nisana Tokif is, look at, you know, something from the Elah, something from Kol Nidre, something on Sukkos, what you're saying, what we're trying to accomplish, and in that way that tefillah will have a different meaning, and as we go into the Yom Nerayim, to remember that yes, everything we have is a bracha from Hashem, and we don't deserve any of it, and in that way, Kodesh Baruch Hu will answer our tefillos for a Ksiva Ksima Tova, and a Lashana Tova Mesuka, and it'll be a great year, a year of the Geula, with Mashiach Memher B'Yameinu.